Ask the average evangelical about infant baptism, and they are likely to emphatically tell you that is a man-made doctrine, man-made practice. The Bible nowhere teaches it, and the Bible does not tell us to baptize our infants. Is this true?
Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We'll be opening up the scriptures and looking at who the scriptures say baptism is for. We'll take a look at the doctrine of original sin and how it relates to infant baptism. And we'll also take a look at the benefits of baptism, who's doing the work, and even take a look at a biblical account of baptismal regeneration.
You can meet and hear Chris Roseborough making the case for infant baptism at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas, Texas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Two basic assumptions have been made and subsequently accepted by the church by and large in American evangelicalism, in pop Christianity. A lot of assumptions have been made and accepted, but these two probably have had a bigger effect on the church's creep away from its mission in the name of the mission than any others. The first assumption is that, well, what works in business will work in the church. The things that make for success in the money-making world, the world where you have a product that you produce and you sell, that carries over seamlessly to the church. That's the first assumption. Or maybe actually there's one before that, and that is that the church is just like a business, or maybe even the church is a business. It has a product. What's the product? Well, it used to be in the old days, they might have said the product was the forgiveness of sins, and now it's become, well, just having a better life. And it has that product to sell, and it could just simply apply those business principles across the board and across the bridge to the church. Is that true? And maybe there's a third assumption, and that is business runs on innovation. How many changes have been made in your church in the name of innovation as a self-evident good? Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's time for This Week in Pop Christianity. We're going to be talking about megachurch pastor Craig Groeschel's teaching, The Essentials of Innovation. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. He's pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, and he hosts a daily internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. Chris, welcome back.
Thanks for having me back, Todd.
In your previous life, you were a businessman with an MBA from Pepperdine University. What do you make of the idea that business principles, the kind of stuff you learn when you're getting your MBA, transfer seamlessly to the life of the church?
No way, Jose. Yeah, not only do I have an MBA from Pepperdine, I'm also a seminary graduate and a pastor. And I can tell you that there literally is like almost no crossover between what the church is and what a successful corporation or business is. And I think people, they are trying to help the church along. And in so doing, they are not properly recognizing a few things. Number one, the church is not a business, and it should not be gauged based upon the metrics of what makes a successful business. And not only that, we're going to talk about this as we get into these sound bites, is that not all businesses are the same. And what's really fascinating is that innovative vision casting leaders like Craig Groeschel of Life Church, that he is looking at a very narrow spectrum of businesses and is likening the church to that very narrow spectrum of businesses. But the other thing is, it's very popular to talk about the church as being a movement, but in reality, the church is an institution. And the thing that really fleshes that out in Scripture is the fact that the pastoral office, the office of pastor is an office. Institutions have offices. And what it is that we're to look at as to where the church is is based upon really whether or not the pastor is faithfully dispensing the duties of his office. So the marks of a church, as we look at our Lutheran confessions, the marks of the true church are going to be where the word of God is rightly taught and the sacraments are administered according to the gospel. So when you look at it that way as to what makes a successful church, then you realize what the business world has to offer the church has almost like no informative value as to whether or not the church is actually being successful. So the two are completely different as night is from day. And early on when I got into the pastoral office, in the corporate world, I had power. I mean, it was an amazing thing, you know. So if somebody wasn't doing their job, I could come in, I can have them come in and meet with me, and we would talk about their performance. And if their performance didn't improve, I can say things like, "We're going to invite you to play on another corporation's team." And it's like, I had this really, I had power. And it's all kind of left-hand kingdom power. The business world really operates in the left-hand kingdom. But when I got into the pastoral office, I mean, literally, it's like having no power at all. It's realizing that you're utterly weak and that you don't even have the power to do what it is that the church needs done, because you are given literally a book to preach, which is the word of God, the Bible. You are given bread and wine and the word of God, which, and you know, and the sacraments and water. I mean, this is what you're given to do the work of the pastoral office, and you realize you have like zero power whatsoever, but you preach the word, and as Paul says, one plants, another waters, but it is God who gives the increase. So to compare the church in the business world, it's like comparing sea otters and elephants. I mean, there's just no comparison.
Who is Craig Groeschel?
Craig Groeschel is a very successful vision casting, seeker driven leader, and he is part of the first generation of young guys who bought into the whole seeker-driven, purpose-driven model. And so he is the vision casting leader of Life Church in Oklahoma, and they're a multi-site church. In fact, they have so many multi-sites that are associated with Life Church that some literally argue that Craig Groeschel, not Joel Osteen, actually has the largest church in the United States. Now, they don't have the largest church as far as like everybody meeting in one spot, but total number of people who are connected to Life Church via the mothership in Oklahoma City, arguably he is literally the vision casting leader of the largest church in America.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. When we come back, we will hear from Craig Groeschel about the essentials of innovation, hear what Chris has to say about it too. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Stay tuned.
A voice in the wilderness of American evangelicalism, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Recently graduated from high school or college and looking for a chance to serve a community in need while sharing the good news of Jesus Christ? Lutheran Young Adult Corps may be for you. Lutheran Young Adult Corps provides opportunities for long-term, full-time service for 10 weeks through the summer or 10 months over the school year in places like St. Louis, Philadelphia, and Boston. Find out more about Lutheran Young Adult Corps by finding us online at lcms.org/YACORPS or on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Lutheran YA Corps.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about megachurch pastor Craig Groeschel's teaching, The Essentials of Innovation. Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. After our conversation with Chris concludes, we'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a simple game we like to play with our listeners, where we play four soundbites from this week's Issues Etc. audio, and you vote to decide which will be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Folks, as Hurricane Florence makes landfall in North Carolina, LCMS Disaster Response is walking alongside LCMS Southeastern District to assess and to respond to a rapidly changing situation by bearing the mercy of Christ. You can support their Hurricane Florence relief efforts at lcms.org/disaster, helping the hurting amidst disaster. LCMS Disaster Response, lcms.org/disaster. So, Chris, what is first here from Craig Groeschel?
All right. So as one of the most successful vision casting leaders in seeker-driven world, let's just put it this way. Craig Groeschel's leadership principles and advice and training are highly sought after among the seeker-driven leaders. And so he has a monthly podcast that he puts out, Craig Groeschel's Leadership Podcast, and it's a video blog, if you would. And so month after month after month, he is, you know, reaching out to young, aspiring, vision casting leaders and teaching them how to be the type of leader that he is. And so as we listen to Craig, he's going to be talking about, you know, innovation and what comprises the major components of innovation. So we're going to let him kind of spin this out a little bit at a time, and a soundbite one will set the stage.
Hey, welcome to the Craig Groeschel Leadership Podcast. I'm really honored that you take a little bit of time to spend with us. We're talking about leadership because we know that when the leader gets better, everyone gets better. And I am very passionate. My goal is to help you become the leader that others love to follow. Today, what are we going to talk about? I'm really excited to talk to you today about what I call the four essentials of innovation. The four essentials of innovation. As a leader, you're going to want to innovate, see new ideas. In fact, to talk more about this subject, I'm very excited to tell you that on Tuesday of next week, we have another bonus episode. It's absolutely free. They're all free. And I'm going to interview one of the leaders that Fast Company named one of the top 100 most innovative leaders in America, Bobby Grunewald. He's a creator and founder of the YouVersion Bible app, now on 330 million devices. He built and sold two tech companies before he graduated from college. That is unusual. We're going to talk to him next Tuesday. Let's talk today about the four essentials of innovation. I'll start out with this big statement. If you want to lead a breakout ministry, dominate an industry, change a city, help a nation, solve massive problems, or meet the needs of thousands of hurting people, you will have to learn to innovate.
Let's deal with two facets there, and they're closely related, at least in the mind of someone like Craig Groeschel. The first one is leadership, and then we'll talk in a minute about innovation, which to me is a buzzword that just causes my brain to turn off. It now no longer means anything or whatever you want it to mean. First of all, this concept so popular, far beyond the pale of even evangelicalism, that leadership is what the church needs.
Yeah, that's not technically true. Let me get you back this up with the biblical text, and you'll kind of see what I'm talking about. In one of the pastoral epistles, 1 Timothy chapter 3, listen to what Paul writes. He says, this saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to the office of overseer, he desires a noble task. And then he goes on to list some of the the qualifications for somebody to be in the office of overseer. Overseer is a pastor. Let me read that similar list from Titus chapter 1. And verse 5, this is what Paul writes to Titus. He says, if anyone is above reproach, verse 6, the husband of one wife, has children, are believers, not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer as God's steward. Now, that's something different altogether than leader. A steward is different than a leader. Must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable and a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. And then listen to this. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and to rebuke those who contradict it. And then he goes on to say that those who are insubordinate are empty talkers, and that they must be silenced. And this is the job of the pastor, of the overseer. So the idea then is this, is that pastors ultimately are stewards. They're not leaders in the sense that Craig Rochelle is talking about. Some guy who, is foraging on and forcing himself into unknown territory and taking the darkness and stuff like that. No, pastors actually are guys who have been given tasks. They are responsibilities that go with the office. And he is to preach the word. He is to preach what's in accord with sound doctrine. He's to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with patience and sound doctrine. And he's somebody who must have studied and showed himself approved. And then he's a steward of the mysteries of God, which would be the word and the sacraments. And so the idea then is that the church, being an institution, there are office holders within it, and that office has not changed, and the duties of that office have not changed. And as Jude says, that we are to contend for the faith once delivered to the saints. And then you'll note that the qualifications for the pastoral office holder is no innovation, zero. It's fidelity is the rule of the day for the office holder in the pastoral office. And so by changing the ecclesiology of Christ's church, because that's whose church it is, it's not Craig Rochelle's, from changing from a steward and an overseer and somebody who has duties and is called to fidelity, not innovation, Craig Rochelle is literally inserting into the church ecclesiastical offices, if you can't even call them that, but that are totally different, and I would say at odds with the pastoral office that Christ has established in his church. So we are on two totally separate pages at this point with Craig Rochelle.
Well, very recently, Apple held one of their annual Apple events, where they usually do it to launch a new operating system, or to, in this case, it was to launch new products, which are the bigger and even bigger new iPhones. And then along with that came the mobile operating system, iOS 12, which was supposed to solve all the world's problems in one fell swoop. We're addicted to innovation. Even if it's only small changes made or things that really aren't even that much of improvements, we just want something different. And companies like Apple know it. That's how they get you to plunk down $1,000 or more for a cell phone. What are your thoughts on our culture's addiction along with the church's addiction?
I would actually challenge you on that. I would say in certain areas, we definitely would like to see innovation, but in others, we do not appreciate innovation at all. And let me give you an example. And this is what I was talking about, where Craig Rochelle is focusing in on a small spectrum of the corporate world. But in reality, some of the most successful businesses on the planet have absolutely zero innovation. And as somebody who grew up in Southern California, I still dream of In-N-Out Burger. But In-N-Out Burger is a company that has zero innovation. They have had the same menu since before I was born, and the menu I grew up with when I grew up, it was you can either get a hamburger, you can get a cheeseburger, or you can get a double-double. You can get it with onions or without onions. And then the super innovative thing was the secret menu, which isn't really a secret. You can get it animal style. You can order French fries, which are all prepared the same way, and you can get a milkshake or a soda drink, and that's it. And they have had zero innovation my entire lifetime and even before I was born, and they are one of the most successful burger franchises on the planet. In fact, if they were to innovate, they would cease to exist. And so the idea here is I challenge the assumption. With certain things, we expect innovation. I'd like to see incremental innovation with my car. I like to see incremental innovation with my computer. But with In-N-Out Burger, no. I don't want any innovation whatsoever. And every time I travel back to Southern California, I make at least one or two pilgrimages to In-N-Out because they haven't innovated. And there are banks. They don't innovate either. And I'm very thankful that they don't, because I want my bank to do the same thing it's been doing for me for the last 30 years. And so We have to challenge this assumption that we are somehow addicted to innovation. That's not true. We are only addicted to innovation in certain areas, but in others, we expect and rely upon non-innovation, and that's vital for us.
So this notion for those who want to migrate business principles over from the business world into the church, and then they latch onto something like innovation, they have a poor understanding of the business world to begin with. And then obviously with that, if they're simply selecting one aspect of what makes some businesses successful, it's really a sham.
Yes. Yes. In fact, they have a bias towards a small sector of the business world. And here's the reason why, is because that fits their narrative. And this is kind of the unspoken narrative of guys like Craig Rochelle. And this goes all the way back to like the modernist controversy with Henry Emerson Fosdick. And that's the idea that because we live in a modern world, in order for the church to remain quote unquote relevant, it must change. And Henry Emerson Fosdick literally argued that the church must change because we now live in the era of the electric razor. And I don't know of anybody who, you know, thinks the electric razor is the most cutting edge thing nowadays, but it's not even an argument. And many people, they buy into this and they believe, oh, he's right. If the church doesn't innovate, it's going to die. Baloney. The church was never built by you in the first place or being relevant. The church is extremely irrelevant to unbelievers because scripture reveals that each and every one of us was born dead in trespasses and sins and at war with God. So how does the church grow? It's actually quite simple. Somebody preaches the word to the pagan world and God, the Holy Spirit, transforms them from enemies of the cross to penitent believers who are now children of God. And they come to church to be discipled and fed and have their faith sustained through the means of grace, through word and sacrament. And so the church has never been relevant, will never be relevant, and relevance is not the reason why the church grows or doesn't grow. Over and again, you can trace whether the church is ebbing or flowing or growing based upon fidelity to the preaching of the gospel and confidence that the word of God is the word of God. It has nothing to do with relevance at all.
Pastor Chris Roseborough is our guest. It's This Week in Pop Christianity. We're talking about megachurch Pastor Craig Groeschel's teaching on the essentials of innovation. When we come back, more from Craig Groeschel.
Do you know a high school student who would make a great pastor, teacher, deaconess, director of parish music, or director of Christian education? Tell them about Careers for Christ Weekend, Friday, October 12th through Sunday, October 14th at Concordia University, Chicago. This even includes a group outing to downtown Chicago. Check it out at cuchicago.edu/c4c. That's cuchicago.edu/c4c.
Let's face it, no matter how hard you try to squeeze everything in, there are never enough hours in the day. If this struggle sounds familiar, you won't want to miss the September issue of the Lutheran Witness on time and limitations. With contributions from Jonathan Fisk, Brian Katchelmeyer, and others, this issue of the magazine will help you gain a heart of wisdom as you learn to number your days. Subscribe today at cph.org/witness. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
More topics, more guests, more Jesus. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri. And Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
This is an outrageous and terrible abuse. Of course kids are resilient and God is gracious and God can work despite the terrible things we do to one another. But divorce is absolutely devastating to children.
Secular commitments to free markets and freedom of speech, they won't survive. They won't survive either. Without a religious basis, the civilization will die. The only religious basis that this civilization can have is Christ.
It's not just that Jesus lays down his life for those who are innocent victims of senseless violence. It's that Jesus lays down his life for those who actively hated him.
Generally, I look at the guy and I say, do you want to treat your future wife and the future mother of your children like a used car? Do you want to drive her around the block for a few weeks or a few days before you commit to making the purchase? Is that what you're telling her?
In 20 minutes, we'll be playing Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Soundbites from Pastor David Peterson, Dr. Anthony Esselin, Pastor Hans Feeney, and Pastor Clint Poppy for your consideration and for your votes when we get to Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. In the meantime, it's This Week in Pop Christianity with Pastor Chris Roseborough. We're talking about megachurch Pastor Craig Groeschel's teaching on the essentials of innovation. Chris, what is next from Groeschel?
So now he's going to explain to us some of the whys of why we need to innovate, and we'll let him kind of keep going on with this theme.
What is innovation? Well, innovation is different from creativity. Creativity is thinking up new things, but innovation is actually doing new things. In other words, people with ideas are not necessarily innovators. People who do the ideas are the innovators. I love what Sarah Bond Brannick said. She said, the world needs dreamers and the world needs doers. But above all else, what the world needs are dreamers that do. I love that. We're going to be dreamers that actually do. What do we know? If you're successful right now, things are going well. What I want to tell you is enjoy it, because you're going to have to change soon. In other words, if we don't change and adapt in what we're doing, our success will not last forever, because the world is changing way, way, way too fast. William Pollard said this. He said, the arrogance of success is to think that what you did yesterday will be sufficient for tomorrow. What was going to happen? We know in our industry, competition is going to emerge. Someone's going to get better, cheaper, faster, more convenient, whatever. New categories, whole categories are going to be born with products and ideas. If we're lucky, we'll just lose ground. If we're unlucky, we could become irrelevant. In other words, it's safe to say that the most successful companies in the future will be doing things that no one is doing today. Let me say it again. The most successful organizations in the future, they're going to be doing ideas that no one has even thought of yet today. In fact, to illustrate, think about the journey from 1980 all the way to today. If the year was 1980 and you're reading your newspaper, because that's what you had in 1980, what are the four companies that are going to make the headlines? Every single time it's going to be GM, Walmart, Exxon, and Ford, the companies they're talking about more than any others. If you fast forward to today, who makes the headlines? Who do we hear about? Apple, Amazon, Facebook, and Google. Think about this. For many of you who are listening right now or watching, you were not even born when some of these companies were born. There are companies that did not even exist when you were born that are now doing things that no one dreamed absolutely possible.
Okay, I completely see what you mean. How he is just kind of got blinders on about what makes for success in business. Uh-huh. And then without even advancing an argument, he just transfers that to the church.
Exactly. In fact, I would note that GM, Ford, and Exxon are still very successful businesses today. And so for him to talk as if they are not or somehow have gone by the wayside, that's not even close to true. In fact, I would point that Exxon has been doing the same thing for like 100 years. And they're extremely successful, and they're still successful. And I want Exxon to be great at going and getting oil and making sure that it's turned into gasoline so that I can drive to Kongsvinger every Sunday. So the idea here is that he's got this real bias on the innovative companies, and this goes to the fact that he doesn't really have MBA training, is that, you know, in your MBA, you have to pay attention to what is your market, what's your industry, and the company that you have. Oftentimes, you know, when the CEO changes in a corporation, the rule of the day is steady as she goes. Don't rock the boat. Don't change anything. The things that have made you successful will continue to make you be successful, unless you are in an industry where the product you produce, the unique thing that you are bringing to market, has to be constantly improved and innovative because of the competition for innovation within that small sector. So again, what he's saying does not translate to the church. Now, another example from scripture that I wanted to bring up here is that, consider the Great Commission. Jesus in Matthew 28 says, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. In other words, he's in charge. And here's the church's mission and vision statement. Go, therefore, as you are going, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, which is a fixed body of work, by the way. And listen, behold, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. In other words, Jesus, who's the one calling the shots in the church, says, okay, guys, here's what you're going to do. You're going to make disciples, baptize and teach everything I've commanded, and you're going to keep doing that until I show up again on the last day. The end. So the church doesn't get to innovate, doesn't get to change. In fact, what the church should be doing today is exactly what the church has been doing since the day of Pentecost. If it's doing something different, it's doing something wrong.
What do we have finally from Craig Rochelle?
The imperative from Craig Rochelle then is talking about that you have to innovate. And we'll let him explain.
What's coming in the future? How do we innovate? I like what Alan Kay said. Alan Kay said, the best way to predict the future is to create it. What do we need? A problem to solve, plus limited resources, plus a willingness to fail, plus a crazy idea can equal explosive innovation. Let's unpack them one by one. What do we need to be innovative? Number one, we need a problem to solve. The good news is you probably have some problems to solve. Think about it. Every great innovation is simply a solution to a problem. Therefore, problems are not things to be feared, but opportunities to embrace. It's really fun for me to think about this, that many great innovations are solutions to a problem that people didn't even know they had. Think about things we enjoy today. No one was asking for an iPod or an iPad or an iPhone. No one ever thought, wouldn't it be amazing if I could have a device in my bedroom that listened to what I said and could send me whatever I order or play music and I could give her a name if I wanted to. No one ever thought, hey, wouldn't it be amazing if I could have a phone that would recognize my face? And some of you think, I wish my phone didn't recognize my face because it doesn't always work the way I wish it would. Number two, we need limited resources. You may think, did you misspeak? We need a lot of resources. No, we actually need limited resources. In fact, the number one cop-out for what I call want-to-be innovators is this. I don't have what I need. If we had more, whatever it is, fill in the blank. If we had more time, more ideas, more good people, more money, whatever it is. If we had more, we could be innovative. This is simply not true. In fact, I would argue all day long that innovation is more about mindset than money. In fact, lack of money is what drove our church to be innovative.
All right, so what did we hear there?
Okay, so the essentials then for innovation. You have to do this, and here's the way you do it. And his assumptions are completely wrong. But what I found fascinating in all of that was his talk regarding how the best innovations are the solutions that people didn't even know that they needed. which kind of begs the question, why are we not talking about the gospel then? Because the problem that the church is addressing is the problem of sin, the problem of our rebellion against God and its multiform consequences. And so the thing that none of us knew that we needed and none of us were asking for is a crucified and risen Savior. And so the idea here is that if you're going to be crass and you're going to talk about the need for innovation, and you're going to talk about Christianity as if it needs to innovate because it has a product to offer, fine, let's talk about it that way, and let's talk about the real product that we have, the real problem that it solves, and how that is addressed. And now when you put it in those terms, the problem of sin still continues to this day. People are still literally born dead in trespasses and sins, living their lives and dying and spending an eternity in hell. None of this is necessary because Christ has bled and died for our sins and has given the job of making disciples to the church. God works through means, and the means by which he raises people from the dead, forgives their sins, and gives them eternal life is through the preaching of the word and bona fide disciple making according to the way Christ has done it. And that's the innovation that we are to be focused in on. In fact, the prophet Jeremiah talked about it in terms like this, where he says, God says, behold, I do something new. I do a new thing. And so Christ is the one who has done a new thing, and he has solved the problem of our sin, and we are to only focus in on that new thing, that innovation, and know nothing except for Christ and him crucified. And the problem is that when you buy into the world's concept of innovation and the world's ideas and the business world's ideas of what makes a successful company, in this case, a narrow focus on the innovative portion of business, you end up losing Christ altogether.
With about 30 seconds here, Chris, if Craig Groeschel were making this presentation not to aspiring vision-casting leaders in the church, but to a group of corporate CEOs, how do you think they'd receive his ideas about what makes for success in the business world, therefore, in the church?
Many of them would reject him as a hack. Again, I keep pointing this out. You know, MBA-trained CEOs and executives know for a fact that innovation could kill your business, and it is embraced only when necessary. Otherwise, you go with what works and you know, has made a company successful, and innovation could literally kill your company. So, for, you know, I don't think business CEOs would take him seriously at all. Business executives would take them seriously at all, unless he were preaching to or teaching a group of, you know, tech executives. Then what he's saying, well, that's true. But, you know, innovation is not some kind of magic, you know, formula for us in the business world at all. And everybody knows it.
Finally, how would you respond to that age-old assertion that the church must change or die?
If that's true, then Christ lied. I mean, it's just real simple. Christ told us, make disciples of all nations, and he's with us until the end of the age. We do not need to change. In fact, all of the requirements of the pastoral office regarding preaching, teaching, and sound doctrine require zero innovation. In fact, innovation has always been the gateway drug into heresy and false beliefs as well as false practices. And so we must not embrace innovation for the sake of innovation. Now, that doesn't mean that we cannot use technological advances or products or tools to assist us in bringing the gospel to people. I mean, that's exactly what happened in the time of the Reformation with the creation of the Gutenberg press and the ability to mass produce paper and books and things like that. So the church has always been able to utilize tools that assist in the preaching of the gospel and the making of disciples. But that's not what Craig Groeschel is talking about. He's talking about innovation for the sake of innovation so that you can somehow stay relevant, which is nothing to do at all with what Christ has commanded the church.
Pastor Chris Rosebro is pastor of Consfinger Lutheran Church in Oslo, Minnesota, host of the internet talk show called Fighting for the Faith. You can listen to Fighting for the Faith at piratechristian.com. Chris, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
Pastor Craig Mueller is director of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. He also serves as president for the Chaplain Alliance. They recently honored Congresswoman Vicki Harsler of Missouri for her efforts to defend the religious liberty of military members. LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces is committed to serving those who serve. Learn more about their work at lcms.org/armedforces, lcms.org/armedforces. On the other side of the break, it's time to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week live this Friday afternoon, September the 14th. We have sound bites from Pastor David Peterson, Dr. Anthony Esselin, Pastor Hans Feeney, and Pastor Clint Poppy. A great lineup of sound bites for your consideration. We will play them for you, and then you can begin voting. 1-877-623-6943. We'll be right back. You'll find real-life stories from women who have suffered miscarriage and infant loss in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for September, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can read an excerpt of Never Forsaken at issuesetc.org. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Never Forsaken, God's Mercy in the Midst of Miscarriage, 800-325-3040.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning Chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift-buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
Spiritual and religious. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Our school is committed to authentic Lutheranism, the entire Book of Concord, and indeed to authentic Lutheranism as it has continued to be confessed and practiced through the centuries right up into our own time.
Dr. Cameron McKenzie, chairman of the Department of Historical Theology at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
We're committed then to biblical, confessional Christianity and Lutheranism and applying it to the world of today in as effective a way as we can.
You can find out more about studying for the pastoral ministry at Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, at ctsfw.edu, ctsfw.edu, or call 1-800-481-2155. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.